Well, hello everyone. My name is Pastor Todd, and I'm so excited to be able to preach today. And we're continuing in this series, Kings of Old, where we got to pick as kind of the speakers of this, what king we wanted to cover. And so I got to do one that I've always wanted to. And I guarantee you, when I say his name, you're going to be like, who? Okay? Because his name is King Joash. Okay? There you go. Now you're like, who? Where? I don't know where he's at. So if you want to know, 2 Chronicles 22 through 24 is where it kind of shares his story. And you'll see a lot of stuff happening at the beginning. There's a crazy just redemption piece to that. And then there's some stuff at the end that is pretty crazy to see as well. But before, we kind of have to, I got to set the story for you because it starts off like Disney-esque, okay? Because what you have is a lady named Athaliah. This is Joash's grandma. You'll find out she crazy, like she crazy, all right? And then you've got his dad, King Ahaziah, and he passes away. Like, it's weird to me, and this is why I say it's like Disney, like the parents are dead. Like, it's already, I don't know why Disney likes to go that route with characters, but if you notice, there's a lot of parents missing in their movies. And so, but his dad, not the best king, only ruled for 1 year. So there you go. Short. And you also have a priest that you'll need to know called Jehoiada. He's a cool dude. You'll want to pay attention to him, all right? So there you go. There's kind of the beginning of the story. And just to set the context, you have two kingdoms now that have been split. Israel used to be one nation, but now it's become the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Joash is part of the southern kingdom, and he is part of David's descendants, that God promised you will always have a king sitting on the throne that is from your family line. So Joash is part of that. So there you go. There's the beginning to the story. Here's where it gets crazy. When Athaliah, crazy grandma, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, dad, learned that her son was dead, she began to destroy the rest of Judah's royal family. See? Told you. She's nuts. All right? And because the royal family, those are her grandchildren. Yep. Just got crazy, right? It's like all of you are like, oh, this story is terrible. And so Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaziah's infant son, Joash, and stole him away from among the rest of the king's children who were about to be killed. She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom. In this way, Jehosheba and the wife of Jehoiada, the priest and sister of Ahaziah, hid the child so that Athaliah could not murder him. Joash remained hidden in the temple of God for 6 years while Athaliah ruled over the land. So this is where Joash's story starts. He is an infant that literally gets put into a closet in the temple of God. And he stays there for 6 years. He has to stay hidden. The reason he has to stay hidden is because if crazy grandma finds out he's alive, she's going to try to kill him. You want to talk about dysfunction? Here we go. All right? Now, if you're studying the Bible a little bit, you know it a little bit. So what's a little interesting is so you're wondering, like, why is this grandma so crazy? Well, she is a daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. Now, if you've been in church, you know you don't name your daughter Jezebel. Like, that is not somebody you want to name somebody after, because King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, they were very far from the Lord. And they took the Israel kingdom pretty much to the ground. And so now their daughter is trying to do the same thing, thinking they're doing the right things, I don't know, to the kingdom of Judah now. And so now some of you may be wondering, is like, why did nobody do anything? I mean, we're talking about a grandma. Why can somebody not stand up to grandma here, right? Well, part of that is there is kind of this understanding, especially when it comes to the royal family's in charge. God made this promise that they would always have a descendant. So they were just under that impression. So then this shook the whole Judah kingdom because they were like, wait, all of them are dead. And this crazy queen's in charge. What do we do? It was a very dark time. These next years that she led, very dark. The whole nation's confused. Nation's wondering what they should do, but they're also watching this leader just lead in such a horrible way. Just to give you even just kind of the spiritual dynamic, she did not want to worship God at all. She created a whole another God to worship, and that is the God of Baal. Build a whole temple, build all of that. And so this temple over here, God's temple, the one that Judah, that is what represents who we are, forgotten. They would actually take all the gold, all the stuff that they had had in there over the years and took it to worship Baal. So you can just sense this kind of mindset within the, like, God, when are you going to do something? When are you going to step up? What's going on? But then God, in his faithfulness, led Jehoiada the priest to do something pretty radical, because he was holding on to a secret. Remember, his wife is the one that saved Joash. And so they had to keep the secret for years, not letting the queen know. So they hid this kid in the temple of God, because she wouldn't go there anyways. And so they hid him. And then he gets to a certain age, and they're like, okay, I think we can now turn some things. So check this out in chapter 23. In the seventh year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada, the priest, decided to act. He summoned his courage and made a pact with the five army commanders. They all gathered at the temple of God, where they made a solemn pact with Joash, the young king. Jehoiada said to them, "Here is the king's son. The time has come for him to reign. The Lord has promised that a descendant of David will be our king." So they have this moment to where Joash reminds him of the promise, but also says, we've got to take this queen out because we need to reestablish what our country is truly about. And that is about God and his descendant and his promise being the leader of this country. And so the commanders are like, finally, they get this little hope. This little light shines and they're like, yes, yes, there's still a descendant. It's King Joash. This is incredible. And so they make this elaborate plan. And pretty much what happens is they start cheering at the temple of God. Just King Joash, King Joash. The queen hears this because she was far away but still could hear because they were so loud. And she's like, what is going on? So she sends the crew and they take them out. And then the whole nation is like, we are against you because there's a real king. Just let that sink in, just the story that's being told there and what Jesus would ultimately do for us, that we have a real king. But then the moment comes where King Joash finally gets to become king. So look at this in chapter 24. Joash was 7 years old when he became king. This is why I find this story intriguing. 7 years old. And he reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. His mother was Zibiah from Beersheba. Joash did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight throughout the lifetime of Jehoiada the priest. I just find it fascinating that a seven-year-old was king and led the nation of Judah. Now, I find it fascinating probably because of the stage of life I'm in right now. I have an eight-year-old. He just turned eight in May, so it's like, okay, he's right there. This is Corbin being like mayor of our city or governor of South Dakota. Like that is what's happening right now in the Bible. Because sometimes we're just like, oh, that's a cool story. I'm like, yeah, hold on. My son, I love him because, I mean, look, this is the other picture I want to show you. This is him usually. And you know King Joash, he had that kid side to him. Had to. I mean, he was probably trying to declare, today is sugar day. We all must have desserts and snacks for the rest of the day. None of these meals we talk about. Like, those kind of things. We must all play today. Like, that would be how Corbin would leave because he's seven, all right? He wants to have fun, wants to enjoy life. And so the idea, especially as a dad, putting my son in some kind of position like that, it's crazy. But if God wanted to do that, you know what I would hope for and pray for is that he would surround him with some great mentors because he would need it. And as the story plays out, God did. God in his love to redeem Joash's story, to redeem the family story, provides this incredible priest, Jehoiadad. And this guy, I mean, he could have, as the priest, kind of taken over, said, okay, buddy, you'll get your turn when you're older. But he let him lead from a very humble space and said, Joash, you lead. I'll help you. I'll guide you. And you see it. Now, and I pause here because someone was like, yeah, I mean, a seven-year-old's going to need mentors to navigate that kind of weight. But I would say, regardless of age, we all need mentors in our life. Because I don't know about you, I felt like 7 years old when I became a parent, and I was like, I don't know how to do this. What do you do? When you get married or when you have these big life moments, you're leading people, you're a boss, this weight is now on you, and you feel like a child all over again, just going, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to lead this. And sometimes we pretend like, oh, I've got it. I'm fine. But it's not true. So I think throughout life, regardless of age, whether it's 77 or 7, we need mentors. We need healthy mentors. And if you watch kind of how the whole story plays out, King Joash and priest Jehoiadad lead this nation to recovering and allowing God to show them what this nation should be about. They rebuild the temple. That was one of King Joash's big accomplishments. Rebuild the temple in a way that is beautiful and reminds people, this is the God we serve. This is the nation. Who we are is who God is, who he represents. That's what makes us Judah. He does an incredible job doing that with this mentor coming alongside him and going, hey, let's go after this together. And they build an incredible foundation that was once broken. Incredible foundation now for Judah to stand on. And so there comes a point, though, where Jehoiadad, because he was a lot older than Joash, and you look at this, just the way he was celebrated, Jehoiadad lived to a very old age, finally dying at 130. Wow, right? Old Testament times, like where you're like, hey, how did he live that long? But I also would say most of them weren't living this long. This was actually a blessing from God. Because there is most likely, because Joash reigned for 40 years. So if you do the math there, it was a little less. Jehoiadad was not there the whole reign. It means he was close to 90 when he became king. And God gave him these extra years so Joash would have this mentor and have somebody to lean on and rely on and coach through and teach him to be the king and the leader he should be. What a huge blessing. And on top of that, the whole Judah nation recognized it. If you catch that, you're like, oh, okay, cool, how they, you know, recognized him. No, this is a special honor. This was usually reserved for kings. Jehoiada got it because the whole nation recognized, dude, what you did, you brought us back. What God did through you, incredible work. And so I pause right here to just point out, Jehoiada's life was so valuable to Joash, and we need godly mentors in our lives. Some of you may go, man, I wish I had that. And I would say, you do. I think there's people in your life that you got to maybe even welcome more of a relationship than you have currently. I know for me, if I look at my life, just the mentors that I'm just so thankful for, I've had the blessing of having amazing parents. My mom and dad have been Christians. They've raised me in a healthy way. But I also know one of the things that sticks out to me is their faithfulness. Faithfulness to each other. They're still just married and love being married to each other. On top of that, they were very faithful in how they guided me when I was looking for my first job right out of college. I had a job I thought lined up at my home church in Kansas City where I grew up, but there was also this other job out here in Rapid City, South Dakota. And my parents looked at me and was like, we don't think you're supposed to take the job in Kansas City. Now, that made me wonder, like, Mom and Dad, did I do something to offend you? Like what happened? But I love their faithfulness to go, no, we want you to go where God, we feel like, is calling you. And so I always look back at that moment as just a profound, like, thank you for mentoring me. Thank you for telling me the truth and telling me where I feel like God is leading me, even though maybe I didn't want to hear it. The other ones, my wife, Tina, she's incredible. If you get to meet her, she's a redhead that is a truth teller, okay?
She has no problem telling me when I mess up in a healthy way, not like in a mean way, but also just very like, no, you're wrong on that, Todd. Initially in our marriage, that was tough for me. I was like, well, that hurt a little bit. Can you soften the blow? But over time, I've learned to appreciate it so much. Because I'd go, she has helped me see some of the areas in my life where she just goes, you're off on that. And I need that. Because I'm such an encourager. I love to, hey, go after this, go after this. But there's got to be somebody in your life who's going, yeah, I hear you, but you need to do this. You're messing it up here. And then there's many others, but the last one I'll end with is this, is Pastor David. For me, it was so incredibly fearful to go into ministry because I had no background in it. My mom was a nurse. My dad was a cop. I was very fearful of what ministry would do to me and my family because you just hear stories. And I never thought I'd be able to cut it. So to have somebody like David who has shown me the ropes, and I've had other pastors, but especially being here for 15 years, it's crazy to think about, of David just showing me what it means to be a pastor and do it in the right way. So those mentors in my life, I look at and go, man, God, thank you. And we need them. Sometimes, yes, a mentor will be your spouse. Sometimes it will be a family member. Sometimes it will be beyond that, a good friend. But here's the honest truth, because the Bible teaches this. Look at Proverbs. It says this, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Simple statements, but we all know it to be true. Because I could tell you both moments in my life where I was like, oh yeah, wise people were helping me. And I had to dive into those relationships. There's also many times where I dived into the foolish relationships and listened to them and got myself in a lot of trouble. And so that, well, just recognize that scripture will always be true. And so we need godly mentors. What King Joash got to experience, the gratitude that he would have for Jehoiada, is incredible. So I ask these two questions. Who is your mentor? Who's mentoring you? And hear me, it should be a collection of people, not just one. And then, where are they leading you? Because some of you may need to change your mentors. And you go, they're good, but I think God's leading me to another person. Or you got foolish ones, just be honest with you. And so you have this mentor conversation, and you know, you can sometimes get here and be like, oh man, that was a great sermon. And you think kind of the story is set. Man, we're riding off into the sunset. King Joash just finishes his life off well. But that's not what happens. If anything, things begin to change pretty quickly after Jehoiada had passed away. So in 2 Chronicles 24, but after Jehoiada's death, the leaders of Judah came and bowed before King Joash and persuaded him to listen to their advice. They decided to abandon the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and they worshiped Asherah poles and idols instead. When I read this scripture as I was studying it, I don't know about you, but I got mad. I was like, why are you doing that? Jehoiada has done so much for you, guided you, helped. I mean, you wouldn't be alive without him and his wife. But as soon as he's gone, you start listening to these yahoos over here? Like, why? And it asks a great question. Like, we can have all the great mentors in our life, but why is it that we still struggle? Because isn't this kind of a true story of life? We all can kind of go, yes, I thought my life was going to settle in here, but then I made these mistakes. I started listening to the wrong people. Got the wrong mentors in my life. And hear me, Joash didn't stop there. You'd think like, okay, repent, man, like get back to the ways. And God tried to help him with this. God tried to help him see like, hey, dude, you're off track. You were doing so well and now you've gone off. And he sent prophet after prophet after prophet to tell him like, dude, change, change. And then eventually, he sends Zechariah, which is Jehoiada's son. You would think at this point, okay, he's going to listen. Zechariah most likely was probably alive for all of this, saw all of this happen, probably older than King Joash. But he gives his prophecy, and all the other rulers of Judah that are the leaders of Judah that have been kind of speaking into Joash's ear, like, man, this guy's wrong. You need to get rid of him. So catch what happens. Then the leaders plotted to kill Zechariah. And King Jehoash ordered that they stone him to death in the courtyard of the Lord's temple. This was how King Jehoash repaid Jehoiada for his loyalty by killing his son. Zechariah's last words as he died were, "May the Lord see what they are doing and avenge my death." Now, I know this king's story, you'd be like, man, Todd, it's depressing. Yes, but it's also real life. And that's why I think it's so important to share. Because King Jehoash started in such dysfunction and started even in a place that we would never want to put a seven-year-old. But led well, did the right things well, but gets to the end of his life and starts doing things that we're all like, dude, what are you doing? What happened here? All of us have fallen into sin. Don't we ask that question? How did I get here? Let's add the rest of the King Jehoash's life. It's pretty short after this because eventually those guys that he's been listening to eventually get annoyed with him. Right? You're not doing enough. You're not winning enough battles. You're not this. So they eventually take him out. And so his life ends with this almost kind of wondering like, oh, it's not the way. And you're like, dude, I just wish you would have ended well. Like, why didn't you? And you were asking all these questions. But I think it puts us in a spot that we need to recognize in life. The foundation of our faith will crumble without fully standing on God. We can have all the right mentors, all the right godly mentors in life, but if we are not putting the foundation, us personally, on God, it will crumble. There is a quote that I came across that, G. Campbell Morgan. "However valuable the influence of a good man may be, it remains true that if a man has nothing more to lean on than that, if it should fail, collapse is almost inevitable. All foundations fail, save one." And what got to me as I'm putting the sermon together, because I thought it would be so much about mentoring and all that, God goes, there's even a deeper component to this. And I see it especially even now to where sometimes in church, but also in, I think just as Christians, our faith is so weak because it's built upon the mentors in our lives. I believe because my grandma always took me to church. You see that? It's your grandma's faith. My mom and dad were Christians, so I'm a Christian. And so our faith is built around these mentors instead of it actually being built around what matters, and that is God. And this quote speaks directly to the truth, as harsh as it may be. It's like, yes, we're good. As mentors, we can be good, but we're not that good. God's better. And so let this scripture sink in when it talks about building the right foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching, this is Jesus speaking, and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. There's only one rock that can really hold the foundation of all of our lives. And that's God. You can try to tell me a different story, but King Jehoash once again proves some of that. A story after story after story, even as a pastor, hearing story after story after story. It's that foundation that matters. We need good mentors in our life, but we need the right foundation more. And that's the part where I start to have grace and almost a conviction in my life of looking at King Jehoash's story and go, God, help me finish strong. Help me avoid what King Jehoash fell into. Because he saw what was good. He saw God do incredible things. But he still fell into the trap that many of us will. Of going, man, I listened to the wrong voice and I wasn't building the right foundation. So it becomes a question, how do we do it? Well, there was something I did recently that helped kind of put this analogy in my head. Is we were, I turned it into a family project, which I don't know if I should have done. Splinters involved and all those things. But it was rebuilding our shed. So our shed's foundation, I should say, because our shed, the bottom part of it down here, this section right here, was all kind of falling apart, all that kind of stuff. So we rebuilt it. So we took everything out of the shed, tipped the shed over, and started rebuilding it. Now, if you just kind of go into it, luckily I had a little knowledge of this, but let's say just in life, similar kind of concept, you're like, okay, I need to rebuild this foundation. God, what do I do? He goes, here you go. Here's some wood. Here's some nails and screws. I'm going to show you how to put this together. And then what's beautiful is he'll go, and I'll even provide you some mentors. For me, it was like, I'll provide you YouTube, and I'll show you. But these mentors, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives, start to teach us some pretty valuable things. Because as we build this foundation, as he shows us how to put this together, here's the one thing God will do. God will teach us how to live. Mentors will provide accountability. I want to show you the relationship it should be. God should be doing this. Mentors should be doing this. So if you're a mentor for somebody, take notes. If you are just everybody else, take notes. Because we got to recognize God's got to do this. Mentors got to do this. And even for our part, I would go in our section here, God is teaching us how to live. Mentors provide accountability. We have to stay humble. Because if we're not going to listen to their teaching, if we're not going to allow the accountability to speak to us, then we're going to miss it. I mean, you think about it. King Joash had it so good, he probably just thought, ah, God, I've got this one. These leaders, I think they've got the right heart. I'll listen to them. I think we're going in the right direction in here. And then it just slowly fell off. Because it's not like he woke up one day and went, God, I don't like you anymore. Mm-mm. And so that's the part I look at this. God is teaching us how to live. Mentors provide that accountability where they're looking like, oh, hey, I've done this before. You should try this and this. And God's going, you should listen to them. They're giving you the right stuff because I walked through this with them before. Second one is this. God renews our heart. Mentors reveal our blind spots. God's doing the ultimate work of transforming our hearts and our minds to be what he believes it could be so we can live the full life and live the life that he designed us to live. What mentors are great for is they go, hey, do you see that you do that? That just know that's weird or that's off. So I told you, Tina, it's a truth teller in my life. So there was a moment recently I was working with an employee of mine, her name's Suze, and we were going back and forth, just constantly probably interrupting each other, talking to each other, all that kind of stuff. I get done and came home, and Tina's like, because she works in the office with us, and she was like, did you hear yourself during that conversation? I was like, yeah. And he was fine. It was great. But I knew something was coming. You know that feeling when your wife says something, you're like, this is not going to be a compliment. Because she's like, I feel like you kept interrupting her all the time. I feel like you both were just all over the place. Constantly. And I was like, no, that just felt like a normal conversation. Like, this is, and initially I was like, no, you're wrong. Like, but I didn't say that. I've learned, all right? But I pushed back. But eventually, I was smart enough to recognize, you know what? I should go test Tina's theory. So I went to Suze the next day and was like, Suze, I just need to ask, did you feel like I was interrupting you a lot the other day during our conversation? Sue smiled and was like, Todd, you're okay there, but I do have to tell you this. When you get excited about an idea, you do like to hop in and kind of get your idea across. And so sometimes I feel like it steals the thunder because I'm getting there, but you just took that from me. And I went, ah, Tina, you're right, dang it. But I also was like, God, I needed that. Because here's the deal, Tina revealed my blind spot. God's renewing my heart. God's the one teaching me, hey, you need to be a better listener, and let me show you how to do that. Because I ultimately think Tina's good, but she doesn't want to carry the weight of showing me how to be a good listener. That's on God's going to do that for me. Her mentoring role is going, hey, you missed it there. Hey, that was actually really good. That's what a mentor does, and it's so helpful. But we have to stay smart in this and recognizing if we have good mentors, we got to listen to them. And then the last one is this. God leads us to holiness. Mentors reinforce spiritual disciplines. God is ultimately wanting to transform our lives to where we actually are able to live the holy lives. Joash got to experience it, but it wasn't till the end where he started to just let that crumble. And God goes, no, I want to see that to the end for you. We're going to even transform you now, whatever age you may be, and see it all the way through. And God's not done. He keeps transforming us, keeps making us more and more holy because he believes we can be. And he's already paid the cost for all of our sins, so he's going, I've got that covered. Even when you make a sin, let's get back up and let's keep going after this holy living. And so then what the mentors do is like, okay, I want to help you get there. Here's what I've done. I've done these steps. I've done these disciplines, and they've been so helpful for me. When I've read the scriptures, when I've prayed, when I've done these things, when I've had solitude, when I've had these disciplines in my life, they changed my life because God started speaking in and started teaching me how to live a holy life. See, that's the beautiful part of this relationship. But our part, here's the deal, we have to stay hungry. We have to keep desiring this. Going, and God, I need your holiness. I need these spiritual disciplines. Because as soon as that goes away, we settle. And I think back to King Joash, there was some kind of settling point at some point where he was just like, okay, it's been good. It's been a good ride. It'll be fine if I make these decisions, all that. So look at this. God's foundation for our lives is about transformation. He's the only one that can do it, and it's the only rock you can stand on that you can make it through your life and do it the right way and do it in a way that honors God and the people that you're living with. So I go, this conversation is so big. Yes, we need good mentors, but we also need to allow God to transform us. We need to keep our hearts humble and smart and hungry. So that way we can allow God to keep transforming us and allowing these mentors to speak into our lives. So here's the ultimate question. Who is building your foundation? Is it God or is it the mentors in your life? Where's your faith built on? Because I don't want it to be you getting to a certain part of your life and all of a sudden your faith is a wreck because it was so built on parents, pastor, spouse, whatever. It wasn't built on the truth. Because those mentors, although they are great, their faith is not going to help you through the storm. You need God's faithfulness to make it through the storm. If anything, take these two stories. King Joash, he's awesome, but may we learn from Jehoiada's life. He did it the right way and finished well. May we learn to follow his example, but also learn from King Joash because a lot of us can relate to him too. So let's build our foundation on the right thing, and that's God. And let's let these mentors be what they should be in our lives and allow God to show us a life that's powerful and meaningful and purposeful. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for everything that you do. God, we just blown away by the stories we get to hear. And thank you for the series to be able to share this story that I've always been curious about, that I 7-year-old became king. And God, how you redeemed his family, how you did so many incredible things in that. But even at the end of his life, we learn a lesson there. To where he didn't do it perfectly. And God, may we learn that we will not be perfect, but we need you. We need you to be our foundation. We need the mentors to help us provide those questions and provide those things that we need to help us push us even deeper into the foundation that is you. And so, God, may we learn to stand on the right foundation. May we learn to hold on to you. And may our faith not just be somebody else's faith. May it be our own because it's with you. And so, God, I pray that for our church and for everybody listening. May our faith be because of you. We pray all this in your name, Lord. Amen.